Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and join our Patreon for just $2 a month where you get exclusive episodes. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the super soldier.
Yes.
Long is a super soldier.
Yeah.
Of love.
Oh, Lord.
Cue the Barry White music.
I can see Long being like a super spy there or something. Yeah. He's so nonchalant. He doesn't really work for the company he works for. He's like secretly a spy.
Yeah. Right.
But with computers. Like he can take your information and then swap it.
Oh, yeah. I didn't say he was a field spy. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess basically Long, we're saying you look like a nerd.
Thank you. I think.
Oh man, it's how's the world out there, guys? I've been at home quarantined, but you know, it's I'm like I said pre-show, I'm tired of being tired. It's like, fuck, man.
Yeah,
tired of being tired.
You gotta be tired of those four walls you have to deal with every morning.
Right, and you know, you can walk outside and look at the front yard and you're like, oh, that's nice. And then you go back inside. But that's okay. I've had a lot of time to watch things, which we'll talk about here in a few minutes.
Cool.
So
you definitely have had the most time.
And I've consumed a lot of stuff. And, television and movies, not other things. Okay. lots of vitamins.
Vitamins, yes.
Oh, but yeah. But no, you know, I mean, I'm not afraid to talk about it even on the show, but yeah, we hinted at it last week, but yeah, I tested positive with this dreaded COVID that's been out there, but I've been okay. I've been lucky compared to some people, and I am feeling better, and hopefully next week it's a return to normal at some point. You can put this behind me. And definitely. So, but lots of staying home, and I may come out of here with a full head of gray hair, thanks to the kids, or end up like you guys and completely bald and just like, fuck it, no more hair.
Just take it all off.
They've been pretty good today, though, but there was a couple days this week where I was like, oh my God, am I going to make it through quarantine? But luckily my kids are kind of homebodies, so it works out. You know, I know some kids aren't like that, but mine do like being home, so it's not so bad.
That's good. So,
but yeah. Right. So, Long, don't look so excited.
It's a Friday.
He's chilling like a Bond villain in his big chair. Like he's waiting to press like a button to flip our chairs and where we fall into like a active volcano or something.
I'm just sitting like just what my name suggests.
Oh, no.
On the screen.
Big blank.
On that note,
the stage.
I guess let's get in to download this then, where we tell people what we watched, streamed, checked out this week. One of you guys can go first, man, because I might take a few. Actually, for once, have a lot to talk about.
I'll start first.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine was pretty uneventful. I didn't really get to do much. Despite
you had a few days off,
just working half the week. I did. And what was it? I know I watched a couple of things. Oh, I did watch the first episode of the Cinemax martial arts show, Warrior. And, dude, the fight scenes in there are really good. And it takes a couple of it takes a pretty big left turn at the end of that episode. Now I won't spoil it, but Mark, I know you're a fan of martial arts movies and stuff. Definitely give that first episode a watch. I highly recommend it. You got time. Let's see. I tried to watch Underwater, but for some reason I was not in the mindset to be sitting through a bunch of jump scares. It was like, okay, I've had enough of this. So I went on to something else. I actually bought a really stupid comedy called Loaded Weapon from Vudu. And it's basically a spoof of Lethal Weapon and a bunch of other action cop 90s movies. I sent you guys a clip of the two cops commandeering the bikes.
Oh, that was funny.
That was random.
Bikes, man? Yeah, come on.
But, dude, Matt, I think you'll enjoy it. If you like Airplane and Naked Gun and all that.
Stupid shit, basically.
Stupid shit. Yeah. You'll like it.
There's something to be admired about comedy you don't have to think a whole lot about, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And watch Loaded Weapon. As far as video games, still playing the Ring Fit Adventure. I took a 4-day break from it, so getting back on the routine was a little tough on Wednesday. I think next Friday, I'll give an update of where my weight is. I know I screwed up on my 4-day break, but I started at 253, so we'll see where I'm at. I doubt there's any change since then. What else? I bought and played Yakuza Like a Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And stay awake, Matt.
No,
don't be nodding off on me.
Just looking.
But yeah, it's. I'm sure you guys have heard of the Yakuza game franchise.
They're talking about the clan, you know.
Yeah, well, the organized crime. Yeah. It is the Yakuza. That's what it's called.
Ah, okay.
Yakuza, like Yakuza. A dragon. Yeah, it's pretty cool so far. I don't want to get into it. I'm too lazy to talk about it. You're next, Matt.
Yeah, so, we had watched Godzilla vs. Mothra, and since I had watched the remake, you had suggested watching Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla, which I did watch, and it's a little crazy. It's kind of like if you took James Bond, combined it with Planet of the Apes, and then combined it with Godzilla, and maybe a little bit of Power Rangers in there. I felt like the exploding effects from Mechagodzilla shooting off his finger and toe missiles were kind of like Power Ranger-ish. But it's like I had a lot of fun watching it. I was entertained, and it was the second or third Godzilla movie I had seen with singing to the monsters in it, and I'm like, why are these people always singing to monsters?
I mean, it's kind of funny it worked out that way because really, I mean. That's a third straight Godzilla movie with singing for you.
Yeah,
huh?
for me, oh, yeah. Wow. And you're like, it's only in like five. And I'm like, well, I've seen three of the five in a row. I'm seeing a trend here.
I think it's just three, honestly.
Okay.
But I could be wrong on that. It's probably five, yeah. Because I know that they've rebooted Mothra a couple of times.
And Mothra 2.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah, but you don't have to watch those. Those are for kids. The Mothra trilogy. Dude, so how did you react when you first saw the first revelation of the first space monkey?
Oh yeah, the spy that broke in and tried to steal the statue.
Well, yeah.
And then he gets shot in the face, which I think he's gonna die, he got shot in the face, but then half his face turned into like a monkey.
Yeah. Were you expecting that?
This is weird. It's like, at first I thought maybe like it was some futuristic gun that made his face rot off or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It was very dark. The makeup was very dark. So I'm like, okay, maybe it made his face rot off or something. And I'm like, nope, those are monkeys. Like, there are monkeys controlling a giant
like a Godzilla.
And yeah, hailing Caesar.
Yeah, yeah. That's a pretty bloody Godzilla movie, too. That's the bloodiest I've ever seen Godzilla.
Yeah.
Blood spraying all over the place. and then
in the water, and you just see all this blood gurgle up.
Yeah. Yeah, I just love the that old school Mechagodzilla because of the rainbow laser beams.
Oh yeah.
So, yeah.
And then the way he flies through space.
Yeah.
It's not like Superman flies. It's like if you were shot out of a cannon.
Yeah.
Tucking his arms in. Like he's trying to be more aerodynamic. That's how he's flying. But I was entertained. I'd say good pick, man. Good pick.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I actually have the X Plus Mechagodzilla.
There we go.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I'll show it.
In good shape, too.
And his eyes light up.
Pew, pew.
Actually, his little chest lights up, too. But anyways, poor podcast folks won't be able to see that.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, man, that's a good looking figurine. Other than Godzilla, what else did I watch? Oh, of course, WandaVision, which I think Mark's going to talk about later. I'll let you touch on that. I also decided just to watch Tombstone. So me and Jackie watched Tombstone, and I was like, yeah, you have to learn where this, you know, I'm your Huckleberry, say when, and hell's...
Wait, never seen Jackie? Jackie's never seen it?
She thought she maybe saw it whenever she was little because her dad liked Westerns, but she definitely hadn't seen it since she was little, so I made sure she watched
it.
And she was just surprised at the cast that was in it, and I'm like, yeah, dude, this is a star-studded cast, man.
One of my all-time favorite movies.
Yeah.
So did she like it?
Yeah, she liked it. And we tried to watch, and I tried to watch Underwater with her, but it was already like 10:30, and I already sat through one movie, and I couldn't do it again, so I knocked out like right at the beginning. And she watched Underwater, and she said it was dumb, and I was like, okay. But she was also probably knitting too, so I don't know if it's 100% dumb. Tomato meter was pretty harsh on it. It was like 50%, but usually horror movies, they get a bad rap on tomato meter.
Yeah.
Unless you're Halloween or something legendary or Jason, Friday the 13th, part 3. That one gets a good review.
The one thing that also took me out of the movie is that TJ Miller was extra annoying in this movie.
Okay.
He just won't shut up.
TJ.
It's definitely a TJ Miller movie.
Nice.
The most you'll ever get of TJ Miller.
And then I want to say that's it as far as movies. And then, of course, we had this Resident Evil Village stuff pop up, and it got me reminded of Resident Evil 4. So I, you know, of course, Resident Evil 4 is on sale, and so I bought it because they redid the graphics to match Xbox One, and it still looks pretty good. But it's they're not zombies. It's like a creature, like parasites that are controlling these village people and driving them mad. I don't think Resident Evil Village is tied into that. I think it's tied into one of the other Resident Evil movies, like Resident Evil 6 or 7. Which, you know, the only storyline that I like outside of the original trilogy of Resident Evil movies is Resident Evil 4, because you've got Leon Kennedy. But I'll probably play some more of that next week. And that's really been about it for me.
Cool.
Well, I watched a bunch of shit. Some of it's old stuff. I'm not going to go through. Like, I rewatched A New Hope just because I felt like watching Star Wars. And nice. I rewatched that the second G.I. Joe movie. That one's actually pretty good, especially the ninja battle. The ninja battle with Snake Eyes and Jinx versus all the ninjas is pretty cool.
Where did you watch it on?
I have it.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I had picked it up on a while back on clearance at Half Price Books. I think I paid $1 for it. It's like, you know what? I'm going to buy this for $1 at Half Price. Why not? I did dive into Spider-Man Miles Morales finally. It's fun. I mean, it plays like the first game, except you have new powers, of course, because you're Miles Morales. And it's so far so good. I'm just playing on like the easy mode. I'm just trying to enjoy the story. I don't want it to be too difficult. A good companion piece of the first Spider-Man game so far. So I've been playing that. I watched the entire first season of Jack Ryan on Amazon Prime. It's a really good show. It's interesting because they take the time to really develop the villain in it. So he's not just a throwaway Arabic villain like sometimes those shows and movies tend to do, you know. But that being said, I got to the finale of season one, and everything they did to build up the villain and to make you, I wouldn't say sympathetic for him because you know he's evil, but to maybe make you understand why he's doing what he's doing from his viewpoint. And then the finale is kind of pedestrian. And I'm like, really? You do all this to build up this villain and that's it? So that was a little disappointing if I had one beef with the show. But it's super well acted and really well done. And so I guess I'll continue into season two. I've always liked the Jack Ryan stories, you know, obviously the movies and everything. And this is a cool, different take on it because it's a completely original story. It's not based on any of the books. So they did this from the ground up. And so it's pretty good. And I watched that. Then I watched all of WandaVision so far. It's weird, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But yet, the new episode that came out today, there's definitely some payoff in it. So, you know, you got to trust Marvel as to where they're going with all this and see what they do as it ties into the next phase of Marvel films. But one thing I have to say is Paul Bettany and Elizabeth Olsen, man, they act their asses off in this. It's like they're really, really good. It's not just like watching a comic book movie. They're really, really doing a good job acting. And it's something you don't always say that with a comic book film or television show, but they're really, really good in the show. So I give them a lot of props. Matt, you caught up on it?
I did. I watched, you reminded me that a new episode dropped today. So I went ahead and watched it, but, yeah, definitely. You know, this movie, this episode three definitely, delivers as far as like, hey, you know, you're going to get out of that sitcom, and you're going to, or no episode, this fourth episode, sorry about that. You're going to get out of the sitcom and you're going to find out kind of like what's going on. And, it explains pretty well, you know, what the events, what happened, and they bring back some, characters from MCU, and Kat Dennings comes back. I heard a rumor that she was coming back, and she was on the Wikipedia cast.
Keep in mind, guys, I haven't seen it past episode two, so
I'm just gonna say who's in it. I'm not gonna get anything else, but it's nice to see Kat Dennings back. I think she did a solid job.
Well, what's so funny is because she was doing press for something a while back, and she asked if she was returning to the MCU, and she said she played coy. She's like, no, I have no plans right now. They haven't asked me. But all of a sudden, there she is.
Yep.
Yeah.
But good job by her, and good job by the, you know, he was in, I don't know the actor's name, but, you know, he was in the Office. He was in Always Be My Maybe with Keanu Reeves. And he was,
never even heard of that.
He was the Asian FBI agent that was also in Ant-Man.
I just remember him from the Ant-Man movie. Yeah.
He if you haven't seen Always Be My Maybe, that's an acceptable rom-com to watch because it's got Keanu Reeves in there, and he's weird as shit, and he punches Keanu Reeves in the nose. And he makes up some rap song at the end where he's talking about how he punched Keanu Reeves. I don't know. It's funny. I liked it. It's a bunch of... It's got a bunch of Asian culture in it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is... I think Keanu Reeves loves Asian culture. I think he... didn't he marry...
You're going off on a tangent.
Yeah, a little bit.
We don't care.
But yeah, that's... You gotta watch it, Mark.
Well, he's half Japanese. Of course he's going to be... That's right. You know...
I thought he was half Japanese, half Samoan, because the word Keanu means cool wave, right? Is that Samoan?
I'm not sure. I don't speak Mexican.
It's not Mexican.
Oh, I know. I'm joking.
But anyway. I am.
Even though you said it was Samoan, clearly.
On that note, if y'all stay clear from WandaVision, give it a chance. It's actually turning out okay.
Yeah. All right.
So far. I also watched that new series of Pixar shorts on Disney Plus, Pixar Popcorn. It's pretty good. You know, it's Pixar, so you know it's good. But the biggest thing I probably watched this week is I finally watched Tenet from Christopher Nolan.
How did you watch it?
I actually bought it. Target had it for $14 with 20% off, so it came in the mail today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Amazon has price matched it, but they hadn't yet. And Target had it on sale. So I was like, so it was like $12. It was $6 to rent it. I was like, man, I can buy it for 12. Might as well just buy it. I like it. It's a bit confusing. I wasn't sure. It might take another viewing. I'm not going to lie. I actually Googled the plot afterwards to fill in the blank, so to speak, what I missed. And when I read the full synopsis, I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Because there were just parts. And I didn't really have a problem with the audio mix at home. It was more, if you think there's a lot going on in Inception, wow, there's really a lot going on in Tenet. And it's more, there's so much going on that I was just trying to keep up with it. So I definitely have to view it again. But it's like any Nolan film, it's extremely well shot, extremely cinematic. Your eyes, there's always something going on the screen. It's well acted. Definitely a better follow-up than Dunkirk was, because Dunkirk was a bit you know, it was okay. This was definitely more true Nolan style. But I recommend watching it. I think it's really good, really interesting concepts. I'm not going to spoil anything. I'll say it's not what you think from the trailers, that's for sure, because it's not what I thought it was from seeing the trailers. It's something completely different, you know? And I didn't realize that John David Washington is Denzel Washington's son. He hasn't done a lot of movies yet. He's mostly been a behind-the-scenes guy in Hollywood. He's been a producer and stuff, but now he's starting to branch out, and this is like his first major movie role. And I can see it once I found out. I was like, yeah, I can see it. You know, his mannerisms and stuff. But a really cool film. I highly recommend watching it. And it's funny because it's 2.5 hours, but it went by quick. It really didn't feel 2.5 hours. So it moves at a really great pace. But there's a lot of movie in that movie. it helped to read the plot synopsis afterwards. I was like, oh, okay. So that's what happened there. And our future Batman, Robert Pattinson's in it. He's actually really good in it. You know, people continue to want to knock him and being the Twilight Boy, but man, he's really good. You know, I give him credit for holding his own in the craft of acting, and he's really good in this film.
Yeah.
You know, Christopher Nolan's one of my favorite modern directors we've had. I've liked almost everything he's done, and I know him and Warner Brothers are having a little bit of a falling out right now over the HBO Max deal, but whatever studio ends up signing Christopher Nolan is going to worth their while, because he's going to continue to make, I think, a lot more good films.
It's really not Warner Brothers' fault. It's really not the movie studio's fault. It's their overlords, AT&T, that called the shots to release it, you know? So.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Hopefully, Core has prevailed, and Nolan can continue to work for him, and we'll see what happens. But like I said, some studio, I'm sure, will be glad to sign Christopher Nolan, you know, and say, come on over, make some money.
Especially
for us.
Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's a top-notch director, a guy I truly think Nolan will win an Oscar one day for his directing, and he'll still do a lot of great movies before he's done. I mean,
where's he going to go? Where's he going to go? Sony?
Yeah.
Universal? They're going to ask him to try to reboot the Universal Monsters, I'm sure. You know? What are they going to do? So, yeah. I mean, Disney's the only other place that he can go that would give him creative freedom.
Right. So we'll see. But definitely, man, don't let what people said about Tenet turn you away. It's definitely worth watching. Yeah, cool film. So I liked it. Good stuff.
Cool.
All right, well, let's get into today's featured film then. As we just talked about WandaVision, the MCU is back after almost 2 years since Spider-Man Far From Home hit theaters, and due to the pandemic, waiting for to get back in that universe. But so we thought we'd go back and revisit one of the early films from 2011, and that is Captain America: The First Avenger. Which was weird watching it, and then there's no Marvel Studios logo on it. Like, you know, that's so synonymous now with Marvel films.
Paramount.
But I was just talking a lot, so somebody want to summarize it?
Go ahead, Matt. It's your boy, Chris Evans.
So,
but not the whole plot, Matt, just a summary.
Yeah. So, set in the World War II era, this film is the origin story of Captain Rogers, also known as Captain America. Chris Evans, fresh off his stint as the Human Torch, Push, the guy that he plays in, Scott Pilgrim versus the World. This is like his fourth or fifth or sixth comic book role, really. Because he also did Casey Jones 2007 Ninja Turtles, so he comes back, plays another comic book character. He denied the role three times, but he goes on to play a really good depiction of Captain America in this film. It's based off of the Hitler's black magic little sect, because you know Hitler liked to deal in everything, and black magic was one of the ways he wanted to take over the world. So we've got Hydra, and Steve Rogers is scrawny, but he's trying to get into the military. And luckily, the other German scientist named the good German scientist, gives him a chance, even though he's asthmatic. But he's got good character. And so he picks Steve because whatever is good becomes great with the serum, and bad becomes worse. So Steve becomes a prime pick, and he proves his way through basic training. Becomes a super soldier and woos Peggy Carter with his pecs, and then he dances.
Why do we let him summarize the movie? Good Lord.
He goes on to dance with ballerinas because that's, you know, it's either do that or be a lab rat. And then he proves himself to Agent K by saving a bunch of wartime prisoners, brace them out, and then he walks up to Agent Smith and says, you know what, you can go back to Bree and you know, go hug your hobbit friends, and I'm gonna go back here and be a damn American and drink some Bud Light, some Budweiser American beer. And he goes back and he starts kicking Hydra's ass into these bases, and at the end
there's technically a hobbit in this movie.
Technically, yes.
Well, he's a dwarf.
He's a dwarf, yeah.
Yeah, Richard Armitage.
Yeah. And they go around just blowing the shit out of Hydra's base. He loses his best friend, Bucky, which we know what happens later on with him. And, you know, he at the end of the day, he sacrifices himself and brings Johann Schmidt's plane down into the ground before he can just take out the entire world, basically. And then he becomes an ice cube. Ice Bucket Challenge winner 2011.
I'm trying not to laugh because Long's face is just like staring right through you like, motherfucker, man.
Well, we made our bed and we slept in it. So yeah. There we go. All right. Oh. So, watching this movie again, I don't know, guys. It just, compared to the other MCU movies, it's a solid origin movie, but that's about it. You do understand where Steve Rogers is coming from. He's very altruistic, and we get that. And Tommy Lee Jones steals every scene he's in.
For real.
As the general.
I ain't gonna kiss you.
Yeah. And yeah, that's I don't know. It's all right. It's, you know, it's
solid. See, you know,
I look at it. I guess I had a different view rewatching it. I actually still like this film a lot, and maybe I'm in the minority, but I'd watch this over Iron Man. That's just me. I like the adventure aspect of it. I like the throwback feel to it.
Yeah.
I love how rewatching it, how it ties together with Endgame at the end. You know, especially the dance with Peggy and how important that was. You know, I realized watching Endgame, but it just reiterated it. I think this movie is better than it gets credit. You know, I think it's it's definitely kind of a template type film, how to tell an origin story. But there's just so much charisma coming off of Chris Evans in this film, and his relationship with his other soldiers and Peggy Carter. That I think it works a lot more for me. I guess I relate to it more than I did Iron Man. You know, if that makes sense.
Mm. Yeah,
like, that's fair.
Yeah,
he's the underdog. You know.
Yeah.
He's the guy you want to drink a beer with.
Yeah. And it's so strange that I read that too, Matt, that he turned it down 3 times. And it's like, now you watch it and we're, you know, 13 years in the MCU. It's hard to imagine anyone else in the role. Cause Chris just owns it from the very beginning. He does such a good job in this movie. And you believe that he's Captain America. He's not just an actor. You know, I could see being a child and watching this, and you believe he's the hero that he is. And it's great that Chris did embrace it and went on to make several other movies and a lot of charity work. And he was really worried about how it would affect his startup, because he kind of liked doing independent films and didn't want to, after the Fantastic Four experience, he kind of wanted to back away from doing star-studded films. And but then he realized, after Robert Downey Jr. talked to him, that you have to look at it from a different perspective. You have to embrace that stardom and use it for good and things that you can do with it. And Chris has certainly done that. He visits children, does a lot of charity work, and he looked at it from a different perspective after talking to Robert Downey Jr. as to why he should take a role that could change his life. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm glad he did.
Or else we would have had Jensen Ackles, which I don't think would have been horrible, but he's definitely like, you know,
he's too
great value version, you know, of.
Well, yeah, and Jensen's not bad, but Jensen's too like Southern cowboyish, you know. He's not quite, he doesn't feel totally all-American to me, you know. He feels more like a region of America, if that makes sense.
That's fair. Yeah, kind of like, jockish, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe too jockish.
Well, I mean, there's some moments in there that are stand out, but it just doesn't have that one memorable action set piece like Winter Soldier did, you know, with the freeway chase scenes,
right.
Or the elevator fight scene in Winter Soldier, or in Civil War had the
Best airport dance number out of every film.
I think some of that is Joe Johnson's directing too, because he's it's kind of an old throwback director. You know, his action scenes are a little more standard.
Yeah.
I think the best scene in this movie, as far as like action, is whenever Cap decides to be the distraction to Johann Schmidt, and he's like, "I'm just going to take this motorcycle, drive right into that Hydra base, and show him what's up." And he's like, "Very ballsy, Captain."
And then there's Hugo Weaving, who does a good job as a Red Skull, but like. He hated it too. He hated putting on the makeup. He hated wearing the leather suit. He obviously never came back to play Red Skull.
Yeah.
Hugo Weaving wasn't a fan of the process. I always think about that, though. It's like, okay, you knew this before you took the role, though. And then you want to complain about it? So maybe he was just in a bad mood. I don't know.
Maybe so.
Yeah, he complains about a lot of things. But I remember he got some guff for complaining about being voicing Megatron, you know, and getting paid to do it. And then people are like, dude, there are people who are like freaking work at fast food restaurants who'd rather do what you do, you know?
Yeah, for real.
I mean, not a disservice to fast food restaurants, but restaurant workers. But I'm just saying, you know, dude needs a reality check sometimes.
Right. So. And, but there's also a lot of importance to this film, too, like as far as the Tesseract and, of course, Captain's origins to bring him back 70 years later. So, you know, that's funny. You look back on this and you realize, like, how important this movie is to MCU overall, though. Especially, like I said, the way it ends Cap's story in Endgame, it makes it almost perfect. I really like Hayley Atwell's Peggy Carter, though. We all know she's good. I like that she's kind of feisty and a little bit tough.
Yeah.
We get to see the origins of Bucky and Cap on screen, which as a kid reading those stories and comics and stuff, it was cool to see that come to light. You know, so there's a lot of really good moments, I think, that work so well in this film, too. Overall, I like the fact that they give Captain America a motorcycle and he puts a shield on the front. I like to think that's a little bit of a nod to the cheesy 70s Captain America movies.
There, speaking about nods, there's a nod, I guess I didn't catch it before, but there's a nod to Indiana Jones. And he's like, your Führer's busy digging up relics in the desert.
Yeah.
No.
Which is a nod to Indiana Jones, right. Raiders of the Last Ark.
Well, Joe Johnson worked for Lucasfilm. You know, he was a sound man on a lot of the Star Wars Indiana Jones movies and stuff.
And Paramount. Know. Paramount was Indiana Jones.
Releasing.
I mean, Joe Johnson did Rocket, The Rocketeer.
Mm-hmm. The Rocketeer, that was his
first directed movie. And then he did Jurassic Park 3. Which I actually enjoyed Jurassic Park 3. That's my favorite Joe Johnson movie out of all of them. Yeah. Yeah. Because he's done, I can name a couple of things that he's done. But I like Jurassic Park 3. It was
They focused on the raptors. In Jurassic Park 3.
Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff, too. Like, the, you know, they had the Howling Commandos in this. And, you know, so a lot of nods to old Marvel comics and things like that that I think, you know, at first, you know, the World War II setting almost didn't happen. You know, they wanted to there were scripts out there where they had it start in modern times. And they were just going to do Captain's origin in a kind of a flashback. And, but then they realized, no, you know, Kevin, I guess this is around the time Kevin Feige came on board. He was like, no, if we're going to do Captain America, you have to do it the right way. You know? And I'm glad they did it like that because, you know, when they rebooted The Incredible Hulk, they kind of did that. They did the origin in the credits, you know, and then we got a Hulk movie. So I think it was the right thing to do is to tell Cap's story from the very beginning. Don't all talk at once.
I think IMDb or not IMDb. I think Rotten Tomatoes is pretty spot on. It gives it a B. I think it's maybe side a little bit more with you, Mark. I think it's more of a B plus, and you know, probably like you said, as far as action is better than Iron Man because you're definitely paced very well with action in this movie. And, you know, on top of being a solid story, solid origin story, you know, in Iron Man, you're, you know, entertained mainly with Tony building his suit the whole time and doing trial and error and that stuff. You got a few cool little fight scenes, you know, when he goes back and takes revenge on the Seven Rings. And then whenever he's coming back in and he has to tango with an American fighter jet. Duo, that's pretty cool.
What I'm saying. This movie to me is more engaging. I guess I like the characters better. I guess I like the character of Cap at this time. You know, I guess Iron Man was maybe at the time Iron Man was kind of a B-level character at the time that became more popular because of these films.
Yeah. Well, don't forget Thor came out the same year as this one.
Yeah.
And for me personally, I enjoyed Thor. I was more engaged with the Thor origin movie. Yeah.
Thor had
I'm a minority in it. I enjoyed Thor more because it had, you know, the comedy. Humor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one thing Thor had. Humor. It's like, oh, there you are, Doctor. It's like, what? Yeah, he's just a nuts, you know, really likes his work. When you took it, he was enraged. He's like, well, how did he take out 7 of our men? Steroids! He's a gym freak.
I don't know if I could pick Thor over this movie, though.
Well, I mean, that's me. That's funny. My personal preference. I thought it was more entertaining, personally. Well, yeah. A little bit less predictable than Captain America. Captain America was just, yeah, I know what's going to happen next. You know, it's kind of like by the numbers. But it did by the numbers good. I didn't say it was, you know.
There's definitely some subtle humors. You know, whenever he's like, do you fondue? And he's like, just doesn't know anything about women. And then Howard Stark's like,
huh? Pronouns, Matt. Who are you talking about?
Yeah, Cap is like, you know, they're about to drop him off. Peggy Carter and Howard Stark are about to drop him off so he can rescue that battalion that was imprisoned. And, you know, that he thinks something's going on between them. And Howard mentions a late night fondueing. And he's like, are y'all fondueing? And he thinks fondueing is, you know, canoodling or whatever. And he's like, oh, fondueing is just cheese and bread, my friend. He's like, oh, darn. And he just, you know, it's like, oh, the second you think you know what's going through a woman's head, the moment your goose is cooked. And he was like, got caught making out with that one chick.
Yeah, who's from Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Yeah. Natalie Dormer. Yeah.
Yep.
But I have seen her
naked. Subtle stuff.
Yeah. So. Yeah, as far as scoring the movie, yeah, I would go with a B also. Yeah. I don't really have much to say about it.
I give it a B plus.
Yeah, B plus.
B.
I enjoy the film a lot.
Midas! No, I'm joking.
I enjoyed rewatching it, looking back at how it all tied in with everything. So, yeah, it was a fun movie.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to our... Oh, go ahead, Matt.
Oh, I watched it. Coincidentally, when I watched it, Facebook reminded me that it was the... I'm not trying to be a downer. It was the last day that I saw my grandpa, and it was at the veterans' funeral home, and I got to see him before they cremated him, and I was pointing to the screen whenever Cap jumps out of the bomber, and I was telling my son, I was like, that's what your grandpa used to do. He was a paratrooper. He's like, really? And I said, yeah, he'd jump out of the sky. And I was like, here's a picture of him about to jump out. He looked calm as can be. And it was just like, wow. And so it was cool. You know, just that little part reminded me of him.
Yeah.
But still holds up. Very entertained. Would be cool. You know, I'm probably going to go watch Thor again because I agree with you, Long. Thor has some funny parts in there. I mean, even Stan Lee's part, his little cameo in there is just hilarious, trying to tie his toe hitch to pull out Mjolnir.
Yeah.
And it rips off his bumper. Did I get it?
Yeah. And J. Michael Straczynski. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And J. Michael Straczynski was in that scene, too, trying to, you know, guide the hammer.
Was there a Stan Lee cameo in Captain America? There's not in this
answer. So whenever Cap is going to get awarded the medal from that senator that was using him as a dancing monkey, basically.
Oh, that's right.
Stan Lee's sitting in the front row, and the short dude comes out. I thought he'd be taller. Yeah.
Right. I got up and was probably in the kitchen or something, but yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, let's do today's top five then, or this week's top five. And no surprise here, we're going to talk top five Captain America moment scenes in the MCU. And I guess I'll start. I never start. I'll start this week.
Yeah.
At number five, I have the elevator fight in The Winter Soldier, which was one of the first scenes where we got to really see how badass Cap could be as he takes out a whole elevator full of Hydra agents and nice. In The Winter Soldier. And it's a really, really cool scene that was kind of thrown back to an Endgame where we thought we were going to get a repeat, and we didn't. And I think that's what makes the elevator scene even better, really. So,
yeah. That was funny in Endgame. Hail Hydra.
I'll go next since Matt never gets the last spot ever.
Yeah.
So my number five is Steve Rogers goes into the Super Soldier pod. He, you know, and I think that's, I really do admire the movie magic of how they had Chris Evans as a very scrawny fella.
Yeah.
And that he comes out super buffed. After the transformation scene, and then of course, what?
And Haley Atwell had not seen him without a shirt on, so her reaction was real. She was like, "Whoa!"
Yeah,
yeah. She admitted that she almost ruined that scene.
Yeah, and yeah, Haley Atwell, all touching and feeling on Chris Evans' boob.
I almost picked that one long. I almost did, but I went with whenever he's just trailblazing into Red Skull's base and just like decides he's going to just tank the entire base, you know, even though he knows he's going to get caught. It's the plan all along, but just, you know, the motorcycle, you know, just him on that motorcycle with a shield, jumping off of it, flying into a hail of bad guys. I thought that was pretty cool. So I picked that as my number five.
Before I do number four, I mean, I'll be shocked if all of our number one's not the same on this list. That's all I'm going to say. But, and number four, the highway fight in Winter Soldier. What an awesome scene, man, as Cap is trying to save Bucky from himself, and he figures out that's his friend. And then, of course, we have Black Widow there too fighting. Just an incredible action sequence, and still one of the best action sequences in all of the MCU. That whole fight on the highway is, I think, badass, you know, top notch.
Yeah, my number four is actually Captain America punches Hitler montage. I just got a kick out of that. Him doing his USO tours, just punching Hitler several odd times. You know, in various ways. For some reason, that stuck out to me in the first movie. But that's my number four, Captain America punches Star Hitler montage.
Number four for me is the boat fight with GSP and Winter Soldier. I just thought that was cool. He's like, what kind of man are you behind the helmet and the shield? And he drops both, and he fights an actual MMA champion on the boat. It was a really cool fight, but you know, just the whole scene around it, him you know, stealthily you know, penetrating the boat's defenses and getting to that point too.
Is that the beginning of the movie? Really cool.
Yeah.
Did he have a chute? Nope. Jumps out of the plane.
Number three, Mark.
And number three, I have the end of First Avenger where Cap downs the plane, and we see how noble he is, and he's willing to sacrifice himself for the greater good. And it's somber and sad, even though we know there's a hopeful future because he comes back. But I think it personifies Cap's character and who he absolutely is, that he would do anything to make sure the people he loves and people he cares about are safe.
Cool.
Nice.
My number three is the elevator fight scene in Winter Soldier. It's probably the smallest fight scene as far as scenery is concerned, but very, very well done, very well executed. I'm sure it took a lot of rehearsals to try to get that fight scene down before they actually started shooting it. But that's my number three, Winter Soldier, the elevator fight scene.
Number three for me, I've got the Iron Man fight scene with him and Bucky. I just thought that was one of the coolest parts of the trailer whenever the trailer came out. And just the whole drama that, you know, that Captain America already knew that Bucky killed Tony's dad and his mom.
Well, there's a, it's also a kind of a terrible character moment too.
Yeah.
You either help Tony Stark or you help Bucky. So it's right. an impossible situation.
Yeah.
Or for him, not just because. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Either one is bad.
Yeah. Take it between.
Before friends. I say my number two, I left that scene that you just mentioned, Matt, and Cap fighting Thanos off the list, even though they could have been on this list. But that just shows you, or even when Cap first appears in Infinity War, I mean, that was awesome. You know, but that shows you how many great moments he had in his in this saga. But those aren't on my list, but they're still great. At number two, I have the passing of the shield at the end of Endgame, where we see an Elder Cap, and he's talking to Sam, and he's moving on with his life, and it's poignant and well done, and Sam understands why Cap had to do what he did, and it just feels so perfect. We talked about it when we reviewed Endgame when it came out, that moment just felt like there was no other way to end Cap's story at that point.
Cool. My number two is Captain America hails Hydra in the elevator scene of Endgame. It was a great way to subvert expectations, and what it was a comedic payoff at the same time, as well as it's such a small moment, but
it's so funny too, man.
So meaningful. Yeah.
I mean,
but yeah, he says, "Hail Hydra." And then everyone's like, "Hey, yeah, he's like, on our team. All right.
This guy's on the level."
Yeah. So that's my number two.
Nice. I value the elevator fight scene very much. And that's what I have at number two. I just think Cap is a fucking badass when he's just like, "Before we start, does anyone want to step out? Like, if you don't want to lose your teeth or get your dick yanked off, you better step out of this elevator because I'm about to rip your balls off."
I don't remember
off,
that in a Marvel. I don't remember that.
No,
in a Marvel
he never
movie.
Said that. What are you talking
are
about?
Are you sure?
Stop projecting, Matt.
If you
stop
read projecting. The lines.
No, Matt. Stop
Logan
projecting.
Logan rips body parts off.
And then after he beats them up and he's cornered, he jumps out of the friggin' elevator right onto a shield and takes out an airplane. So it's just, you know, badass all the way around. So elevator fight scene plus a little bit more. Yeah.
Well, at number one, and I'm going to guess y'all have this too. If not, I'm shocked. And that's Cap catches the shield and hollers, "Avengers Assemble." 15 years of waiting for that moment. And goddamn, what an awesome moment it was. You know, I have never cheered in a theater ever. That scene made me cheer. I was clapping. I was like, "That is so awesome." It gave you chills. That was, as a young comic book fan, that was everything you ever waited for on screen in that moment when you hear him say "Avengers Assemble." And it's incredible. Even now, watching Endgame a couple years later, that scene is just so badass. One of the great, not just one of the greatest moments ever in the MCU, but in cinematic history. I will go that far because there was so much build up to that moment. We finally got it.
Well, that's not my number one, unfortunately.
Your list is a fraud. A fraud, I tell you.
Sorry, Mark. I have dishonored you.
How is that not on your list?
I'm sorry, Mark. I have dishonored your expectations.
I mean, I almost have to take a fan card away for this, dude. I have to revoke
it. My number one is Captain America picking up Thor's hammer. It was a 8-year payoff, and I cheered for that moment in the theater, and everyone else clapped along with me.
That's the same scene.
It's the same scene, but I'm talking about moment. okay?
Yeah. I mean,
you didn't mention anything about Captain America picking up the hammer at all. He just said, said he picks up.
I said when he calls the hammer to him and he says Avengers Assemble. That's what I said.
That's the second time afterwards. He has it.
Yeah, this is the second time.
How about the first time?
I'm with Long on this one. When he first lifts the hammer in that theater, you're like, is it Cap? Oh my God, is Cap having the hammer right now? And then, boom, you see him just yank back with the hammer, and Thor's like, yes! And you're saying yes with Thor, you know, because he's got the hammer. He's got the hammer.
It was an 8-year payoff.
Yes.
Eight-year payoff. They teased it in the Age of Atron, of Ultron, and he moved paid it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Avengers Assemble. So.
Yeah. I was going to say, as an honorable mention, just the whole thing with Cap banging Peggy and then going, you know, and getting frozen, going to the future, making out with her niece, and then going back and then banging Peggy again. I mean, that's got to be a cool moment. He's working his way around the family.
I regret giving you that last spot. Oh. God, man. You're projecting again. No. Anyways, my number two is Cap picking up Thor's hammer.
Number one.
In Endgame. Number one. Yeah.
Yeah. Same here.
What's your number one? That was the hammer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Same moment.
Okay. I'll give you that, Matt.
There we go. Yeah.
Let's do some news. There's actually some news this week for once. We're going to get a official Cloverfield sequel. There's been some spinoffs, but J.J. Abrams is actually going to produce it, and it's not going to be found footage. It's actually going to be a film where I guess we see the return of the monster. So could be interesting. You know, we'll see. I mean, it's funny because we mentioned the Cloverfield monster last week on our monster episode with Godzilla, and then this news came out this week. So cool. We got a release date finally for the Justice League Snyder Cut. It'll hit HBO Max on March 18th. So I'm expecting a new trailer probably will come soon. It's like you said, Long, in a text message. There's so much hype behind this that we can only hope it doesn't disappoint, but it's probably going to... there's going to be some people out there disappointed in some way, I would think. So we'll see. You know, I'm still excited to watch it. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm definitely going to watch it.
Yeah.
It almost feels like a duty to watch it. After all the buildup for it, it's almost like if you don't watch it, you know, it's like kind of have to. Yeah. So we'll see.
And we watched Cloverfield together in theaters, didn't we, Mark?
I think so. But we're talking about Justice League. You're backtracking there.
I don't know why. Okay. Yeah. Justice
League. I don't even know what are you even talking about?
I don't know why I thought we were talking about Cloverfield. Sorry, I had a moment.
It's funny that last week I am.
A moment? You have many moments.
Too many to count, really.
It's funny that last week I bought the Buck Rogers movie and watched it, because now word has come down that Legendary wants to redevelop Buck Rogers for television, possibly for HBO Max, and George Clooney is circling it with his production company and possibly to star in it. And it's funny because I really thought about this. I'm like, you know, actually George would be a perfect Buck Rogers. He's kind of got that wit to him, and he's got that playboyness to him. I actually think he would be really good casting if he does. So it'll be interesting that George might choose to do television after doing movies all these years. But of course, he got to start television. But I kind of hope this comes to fruition. I think it would be really cool, you know, to see a Buck Rogers revival. So
cool.
I'd be down.
And HBO Max premiered the Babylon 5 TV series on the streaming site, and it looks so much better.
They scan it in 4K, and and there's rumors that there could be a Blu-ray release coming, but Straczynski says right now there's no plan for Blu-ray, but. Man, if you're going to spend that kind of money to 4K scan it, you're going to want to make some money off of it. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But yes, Babylon 5 is on HBO Max now. Matt, I've told you before, I highly recommend that show. One of the best sci-fi shows you'll ever watch.
Yeah. Watch it.
Yeah, it's definitely really good. Be patient with it in the first season, but it gets better and better season two on the forward.
But there's stuff that is very important in the first season that pays off in later seasons.
A lot of important stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Such a good show.
Very good show. And I hope that Paramount get off their cheap asses and give us a 4K scan of freaking Deep Space Nine. Because, come on. Deep Space Nine has to get some love. You know? It's a fantastic show, too, in its own right. Man, the 90s was... The 90s was definitely the golden era of science fiction television. There's so many good science fiction shows.
Some shows that were ahead of their time. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like Babylon X-Files. 5. X-Files. Yeah. Babylon 5 with serialized storytelling. X-Files with a mythology throughout it. And even Deep Space Nine. Now, Deep Space Nine didn't really develop their mythology until like maybe the last three seasons, it's fair to say, because they realized that a mythology could work. You know?
No, they hit the ground running like second half of season two onwards Deep Space Nine. So, you know.
And now every show that comes out is serialized storytelling. It's almost uncommon now to see a show that's not that kind of story now. We finally got a trailer this week for Long's anticipated film Godzilla vs. Kong, or is it Kong vs. Godzilla? How are they wording it?
No, you got it right the first time.
Is it Godzilla vs. Kong?
Yeah.
And it's coming out March 31st, I think, on HBO Max. It's the official release date now.
I can't believe you guys are dogging it. It came out on my birthday. It came out on my birthday. I was riding high, and then you guys have to freaking shit on the trailer on my birthday.
I didn't shit on the trailer. I just said Kong's gonna win, man.
Oh man, talk about triggered.
I just said Kong's gonna win, man. There's no way a slow ass lizard can beat Kong, man. He's too fast.
He has atomic breath. I can't believe it. I cannot believe it.
All Kong has to do is jump out of the way, smash him with a building.
God, I'm so mad.
Well, I mean, the trailer looked cool, but you know what? The King of the Monsters trailer looked cool too, and look how that was kind of iffy. And King of the Monsters still has great monster scenes in it, but the human story is very awful. And I'm hoping,
you know, Kong Skull Island. Did you ever watch that?
Yeah,
I thought that was a good movie.
Yeah, I liked it.
I like John C. Reilly in that movie.
Yeah, he saved that movie basically. Mm-hmm. I've never seen an actor single-handedly save a movie. Even with Tom Hiddleston and Brie Larson and Samuel L. Jackson. Well, actually, Samuel L. Jackson was pretty good in that movie, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. That was fun. They're fun movies. You know, you can't knock them too hard. Got to enjoy them for what they are. But it's finally coming out after long delays and everything. So, no one texts Long on March 31st because he's going to be busy.
No.
Jerking off to Godzilla vs. Kong.
Oh, yeah. You know it.
And on top of that, Netflix and Legendary announced they are developing a Skull Island anime series and a Lara Croft anime series. The Skull Island one, I guess, is going to tie in with the films and kind of fill in gaps between the Skull Island film and Kong vs. Godzilla. The Lara Croft one apparently is going to be original. It's not going to tie in with the current Tomb Raider films. They're being done by the studio that does the Castlevania animation. So, and then I've only watched a little bit of Castlevania, but it is very well animated. So we'll see how these turn out.
Yeah, coming from it definitely gets better. Season two is really good for Castlevania.
Yeah. I only watched the first couple episodes. I need to go back and watch it. But I heard it gets a lot better. So, that's all the news I got, though. So at least there was some news this week after being very slow for a while.
Yep.
Things get going again. Well, before we get out of here, let's preview next week's film. A movie that I've actually had this requested from a couple of people. It's actually one of those kind of modern and cult classic films that people have discovered after Tom Hardy became a big star. And that is his MMA fighting movie, warrior.
Growing up, we all want to know the toughest kid in the neighborhood was, right? I want to know the toughest man on the planet is. That's what we're going to find out.
Brendan, it's me, Pop.
What are you doing here?
Tommy's back.
Did he say if he wants to see me?
I'm proud of you, Tommy. What you did for that kid in the tank.
What was I supposed to do, let him drown?
Tommy Reardon, you saved my life.
Look, Brendan, the bank has got to go by the new appraisal figures. You're upside down on your mortgage.
How much do you need?
I didn't come here for long, Frank. I was hoping that you would train me.
Are you serious?
Do it!
I thought we agreed that we weren't going to raise our children in a family where their father gets beat up for a living.
Brendan, you're a teacher. You got no business in the ring with those animals.
Actually, I used to be one of those animals. I guess I forgot to put that down on my application.
There's this big tournament. Top 16 middleweights in the world. But when it takes all, I'm gonna need a trainer. Of that much you were good at. Frank, I need this.
I got a family to protect. Everything I do is for them.
What's going on up here?
Daddy is now a princess.
Mom needed you. I needed you. You're my big brother. You bailed on me.
I was a 16-year-old kid. What the hell did I know?
You had a choice, okay? You had a choice.
War hero Tommy Reardon, who has become an overnight sensation, and Brendan Conlon, the physics teacher, then pulled off a miracle.
You can do this. What do you say? You can do this.
You got him!
This is impossible! The two men fighting for the championship tonight are brothers!
Go on!
Are we here to win this fight? Because if we're not, I will throw in the towel.
Matt, you've seen it, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think Long's ever seen
last
it.
Last year.
This is a movie that kind of came out of nowhere, and it's not just an MMA movie. It was marketed like that, which I think affected it at the box office because people, you know, MMA is a very niche sport, you know, niche audience. But this is actually a really, really good film. It actually was nominated for an Oscar. Nick Nolte's nominated for an Oscar in it. It's not just an MMA film. It's definitely a deeper, more character story about these two brothers. And I remember watching it the first time, and I was very pleasantly surprised about, honestly, just how good it was. and at the end of the film, you'll find yourself, like when you watch Rocky for the first time, you kind of find yourself cheering the screen, you know? And that's saying something without spoiling anything. I mean... So, but I have had a couple people say, hey, have you ever done the movie Warrior? And it's been brought up a couple times, so it has its fans, and it's legit a very good movie. It's a little long. It is a long watch.
Oh. Yeah.
I think you're going to enjoy a lot.
Yeah. I've never seen it.
It's on Amazon Prime. I think it might be on Hulu also. It's always been available streaming for a while. And so it should be a fun one to watch next week on the show. But that's it, man. Thank everyone, as always, for listening. TheRebelRadioPodcast.com. Our Patreon is active, and two episodes a month now, even though January did not turn out the way we wanted to, but I think people will forgive me for that, considering the last week and a half or so. I got to get that Batman and Robin episode out. It's sitting right here on my computer. I'll do that this weekend for sure. Until next week, man, thank everyone for listening. And be safe out there. And this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long, the abomination. The super serum failed.
You could have just said Long, the first Avenger. I remember. Thanks for listening. Until next time, just go there and do it.
Just go there and do it.
Do it.